Psalms 119. As we turn there this morning, I ask you to please stand for the reading of God's Word. We're in Psalms 119 again this morning. We're on the 20th stanza of this chapter. And we're going to pick up at verse number 153 and read down to verse 160. Before I begin, let me apologize. This message will be similar to the message I preached about 4 weeks ago. You say, preacher, is that because you don't study? It's not because I didn't study. Because the stanza is so similar with the same message today, I want to, and I want to impart that again today. I think it's an important message today that I want to give this morning. So it'll be somewhat similar to the message I preached about 4 weeks ago from Psalms 119. The title is The Big Difference. The Big Difference. Look at verse number 153 with me. I'll read the first verse, and you read with me in the second verse, and we'll read responsibly down through verse 160. David says here, consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. The big difference. Father, today, we come to you one more time and ask you this morning again for your help today. Fill us with your spirit, Father. Meet with us in this place. And God, give victory, I pray. In your name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. I think that it's important that we let the Word of God make a difference in our life this next year. I know He's made a difference in your life already. But we close out 1 year, we start a new year. And there's, I believe, a message here today that can help us have a big difference. As we looked at Psalms 119, it has 22 stanzas in this chapter. There's 22 stanzas, there's 176 verses. And David writes this beautiful masterpiece by the inspiration of God, of course, but he writes this long poem using a method of every 8 stanzas begins with a corresponding letter to the Hebrew alphabet. We spoke about those letters throughout the messages. The letter today is a letter resh. Letter resh. It's the 20th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And it's very interesting, as the others were. The ancient pictograph of the letter looked like, of course, a head. And it conveyed the meaning of intellect or wisdom. It conveyed the meaning of also being top or first, beginning or the head of something. The classical form of the letter resh is, you see there on your right there, the classical form is, it's bent over or stooped. And it is a picture of, or it represents an individual who is bent over, or a poor person. Now, you'll see here, if you remember, we talked about several weeks ago, beginning of the year, the Hebrew letter Dalat. You see that here on the left here, they're very similar in appearance, and they're sometimes easily mistaken. Now, the letter resh is said to represent a bent over person or a stooped person. But you notice here on the upper right corner here, it's missing this function here called the yod. And the yod in the Hebrew alphabet represents God's presence in someone's life. The resh is missing that. And so it said that the resh is representing of not only a poor person, but as it represents intellectual wisdom, it represents a person that is wise in his own eyes, intellectual in his own eyes, and away from God, and so it represents an evil or wicked person on its own. And so the resh, the only redemption for the resh to have is repent toward God, and in doing so, he becomes known as Rosh, known as the head, or as the beginning, rather than resh. And so we find here today that example here of what the letter means. Now, keep that up here for a second. Just let that stay up there for the whole time, Emily, if you would, please. And we'll refer to that back here in several minutes. I believe that what David here is trying to convey to us the meaning of this letter. It conveys, again, whether it's a pictograph or the modern classic form of it, represents either a poor person or a wicked person without God and needs to repent, but it also represents priority or head. David here in this chapter, I believe, is conveying the meaning or the message that the Word of God was the head or the priority of his heart and his life. And so today I want to talk about that. In Psalms 119, if you can enter into David's study and get a glimpse of this man now, he's bent over. He's penning this poem. And in doing so, he begins to write this inspired masterpiece that here is a man that's admiring the God of heaven and exalting his word. This shepherd boy could play a harp. He could use a sling. He could wield the sword. But he was also a master of the pen and paper. And there are many mighty men we find in the Bible. The difference between a mighty man, a godly man, is not their strength or bravery. It's in their love and dedication to God and to the God and to His Word. And so I find that today that the difference between a mighty man is not their strength or their bravery or their courage. It's their love, dedication, and faithfulness to God, the God of heaven. What David's saying here in this chapter, he's saying this, I believe. The strong and the mighty are nothing without Jesus Christ. We're nothing without His Word. And the Word of God will never, God's Word will never diminish the man. We'll always elevate him to a place of honor and purpose. The world today thinks that somehow if I'm a believer, if I'm a Christian, if I love the Bible, it'll diminish me as a man. No, it'll make you the man that you're supposed to be. It'll make you the lady that you're supposed to be. So we find that, I want to just say here this morning before we begin, that loving Jesus Christ and being spirit-filled and walking in His Word is not a second-rate life for losers. This idea, well, I'm a Christian, I have to endure being a Christian, I have to just get through it. That's not the Christian life. Christian life is not something we have to endure or just, you know, I got my cross to bear, I gotta go to church today, I read my Bible. That's not the Christian life. It's the Christian life. God's Word will elevate you, not diminish you. Christian life and seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness is not a punishment to be endured, but is a mercy to be enjoyed. And can I say this morning, let me say this. I don't know why I put this in my notes last night, but I did. I'm just going to read it anyway. I want to encourage you young ladies, quit looking for men who have swag and personality and charm. Look for a God-fearing man. Doesn't matter if he has swag or personality or charm. If he's not God-fearing, move on, sister. This idea, I'm looking for, listen, find a God-fearing man that loves God, loves His Word, and hook up with that kind of guy. That applies to you men as well, if looking for ladies. I look here in this psalm, and I hope I don't sound a little bit scattered today, and I apologize, and I've had a little bit of health issues in the last week, and I'm on some new meds. I don't know how long I'll be on them. But they make me feel just a tad funny. And funnier than I usually been, but. So let me try to get my train of thought here for a second. You just pray that God will bless the services today. There are some key phrases, key words I want you to see in this chapter for a moment. If you see verse number 153, it says, we find the word consider. The word consider means to look or to examine. With the intent to attend or to relieve. We say, consider me. Consider for a while. It's not just to think about, but it's to take a look upon, to attend with the idea, to attend to or to relieve. It's used three times. This word is used three times in Psalms 119, this word consider. And it's used twice in this stanza alone. Then if you were reading with me, you'll notice that the word deliver me was used more than once. We see that in verse number 154 and other places. The word deliver me, that phrase deliver me, is used four times in Psalms 119 as he penned this chapter. But it's used twice in this stanza. If you were reading with me and paid attention, you'd have noticed that he said quicken me. He used that phrase in this stanza as well. Quicken me is used, that refers to as renew me, revive me, make me alive. He used it seven times in Psalms 119. But he used it three times in this stanza. What's he saying? He's saying without God, there's no life and there's no hope. Without God, there's no deliverance. Without God, there's no revival. There's no renewal. There's no life. So he said, we need God. Here, now listen, we get a glimpse now in the David's prayer closet. We read about him being a warrior. And boy, he was a warrior. He faced lions and bears and giants. He faced the Philistines. He was a mighty warrior. He was a man referred to as bloody hands because he warred so much. He was a man's man. But now we find him, we get a glimpse of him in his prayer closet. There upon his knees, he begins to write, God, have mercy. And God, consider my afflictions. And God, many are my enemies and my persecutors. God, consider me and my love for you. Deliver me, O God. Say, quicken me, God. Quicken me, Lord. Boy, I'm glad that we come to God in times of trouble, aren't you? That in our time of trouble or need or sorrow or heart, that we can go to God in our prayer closets and get in the face before God and say, God, here I am, God. God, consider me, and God, deliver me. And God, here's my affliction and my sorrow and my heartache. And God, here's my trouble. God, renew me, quicken me, O Lord. What a blessing to have prayer, the God of heaven. That He hears our prayer and He knows what we're going through and He sees where we're at. David's saying, now, God, help me in my time of trouble. But the most important phrase or statement in this stanza is not, consider my afflictions. It's not the phrase, plead my cause. It's not the phrase that he used several times. It's not, deliver me. It's not the phrase that he used three times in this stanza. It's not the phrase, quicken me, Lord. The most important statement, the biggest difference in David's life was found in verse number 160, where he said this, thy word is true from the beginning. Now, he only said that Psalms 119 is an entire chapter, 176 verses of a man exalting God in his word. But what David knew about God's word being true made a difference in his life. Why could David say, God, consider me? Because his word was true. Why could David go to God in prayer and say, God, would you please deliver me, God, from my enemies? Because he knew God's word was true. Why could David go to God and say, God, here I am, and God, I'm before you. I need your mercy, and God, according to your mercy, God, please quicken me, revive me, give me life again, renew me, because David knew that God's word was true from the beginning, for all eternity, God's word is true. The difference in David's life was his faith in God and his trust in God's word. See, God's word is true regardless whether a man believes it or not, by the way. Well, I don't believe it. Doesn't make a difference what you believe. God's word is still true. But when the child of God says and proclaims, God's word is true, it alters his life forever. Alters your life forever. See, what you know about God's word is so important. What you believe, again, doesn't change God's word, but it'll change you. Listen, God didn't send his word for you and I to change it, by the way. And to revise it. And to do it over again. And to correct it. Listen, the King James Bible is good enough for us. It's God's word for today. It doesn't have to be rewritten, re-revised. This has to be read over and over again. That's God's word. And we can't change it. But boy, when we believe it, it makes a difference in our life. Isn't that what Paul said? Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12, he said, for I know whom I believed and am persuaded is able to keep me against the day, he's able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. Paul was saying, there's some things that I know. I know that God's word is true. It's true. And it changed his life. Isn't that what old Peter said? Peter said this. He says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. He's speaking of the Bible. And it changed his life. Hey, these men became martyrs for Christ because they said, thy word is true. This is John's testimony. In the book of 1 John, John wrote this, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know it's eternal life. what he was saying here. Listen, it's important what you know about the Bible, what you believe about the Bible. And David said, the most important phrase was not, God, consider me, though God does here. Was not, God, please deliver me, and God will deliver you. The most important phrase was, God, please quicken me. And boy, I wanted to preach on the word quicken. Three times it's used, quicken here. I wanted to preach on that, and I might in the future. The difference was, in David's prayer life, in his life, the difference was when he said, Lord, thy word is true. Thy word is true. Hey, you want today to have a godly testimony? Confess and believe that God's word is true. Listen, today I want to encourage you, moms and dads and young folks, hey, this Bible is good for a sword to use in your life, but it's also good as a staff to lean upon in your old age. Amen? It's still good. And what you know about the Bible, it will alter your life, and it will change your life. It makes what's the big difference? The Word of God in our life is the big difference. I think it's the blight of Christianity that the emerging church and the relevant church foolishly attempts to use the Word of God to be less godly, less faithful, less holy, less modest, less sober. Listen, God's Word doesn't make you more the same. It makes you different. Makes you different. This idea, well, preacher, I think you're cultish. I don't want to be cultish. But we want to be Bible. Biblical. And listen, does God's Word make me more like where I came from? More like the world that He tells us to leave and to be different from? No, God's Word makes us not more the same. It makes us distinctly different. Today I want to just give you three things real quickly here. And I know I've used a lot of my time already. And I know it's New Year's, so you got plans today, so I'll not be careful of that. I want to just give you three thoughts today. And I've touched on these before, and so I hope that you'll listen to me this morning. I know I'm not always the greatest, but the Word of God here is important. When God's Word becomes a priority in our life, it makes a big difference, first of all, in our pride. Look at the Bible again. I want to read this again to you. Verse 153. Watch it. Follow along as I read. Consider my affliction and deliver me. For I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies. Yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning. And every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Listen, David does not come to God and boast of his exploits. David didn't come to God and say, God, consider my courage when I was a shepherd and I killed a lion and a bear. He didn't say that. He didn't say, God, consider me when I stood for a cause and I faced Goliath with just a sling and five smooth stones when no one else would. He didn't say that either. He didn't say, God, consider me in all my battles that I've waged against the Philistines to exalt your name and deliver Israel. Consider, Lord, how I built this city of David. I'm king. No, he didn't say that either. He pleads for God's deliverance based upon God's word and God's mercy. See, he's not saying, God, deliver me because of what I've done. He's saying, God, deliver me and God, help me based upon who you are and your word. See, today I can go to God and say, God, because of your word, God says this. And so, God, therefore I come to you based upon your word and your mercy. See, the greatest of all men must bow their knee before a holy and righteous God. The greatest of men, with all their exploits and all their money and all their courage and all their bravery and all their accomplishments, cannot say before God, say, God, consider what I've accomplished. Therefore, God, no, we must come to God and beg God for His mercy. You see, when God's word is true, all our righteousness turns to filthy rags. When God's word is true, we no longer stand in our strength, but fall before God, begging for His mercy. You see, this psalm is not this is not David the king on his throne. This is David the child of God begging for God's mercy in his prayer closet. There's a difference. And so you and I can't come before God and say, God, consider what I've done for you and who I am and all the things I've accomplished. No, when God's word is true, it takes a big swipe at our pride and our self-righteousness. And we say, I before God, I'm nothing. And He loves me though, and I need His mercy. I need His kindness. You see, what makes a big difference in your life? God's word. It'll change. It'll make a difference in your pride, in your self-evaluation of who you think you are. David comes to God, begs God for His grace and His mercy. Number two, it makes a difference in our prayer life. It makes a big difference in our prayer life. David, we find him now in these last several verses, he's praying. And boy, what a prayer life he had. And I want to have a prayer life like that. And you know, and about the prayer life, you can come to God and pray to God about anything. You can talk to God about your afflictions and your troubles and your enemies and those that might persecute you. You bring to God your desires and your hungers and your dreams. You bring to God your requests. You can bring to God how much you love Him and worship Him. You can pray about anything. But this is not a prayer of routine or vain repetition. This is not a routine. Well, it's time to pray. This is not some rosary or a Hail Mary. This is not a Baptist prayer or a Catholic prayer. This is not a prayer uttered in haste or haphazardly. This is not a prayer spoken without thought, mind, or heart. It's not a prayer absent of spirit and truth. This is a prayer that was changed. It was a prayer that got hold of God. Why? What made the difference? God's word. Because of God's law. If you read this chapter, David refers to God's law, His word, His statutes. Because of God's law, because of God's word, because of God's statutes, because of God's judgments, and God's testimonies, David cried out in prayer to God. Listen, you want to change your prayer life? Get in the Bible. Well, listen, we find these two letters. One represents God's servant. One represents an evil man. What makes the difference? Small little thing called a yod. What makes the difference in our life? A small little book called the Bible. The Bible. Hey, listen, what makes the big difference in a mom and dad's life? The Bible. Listen, thank God for the Bible that points us to Christ Jesus. I'm taking away. But wait a minute. Why do you do what you do? Why church? And why living right? And why love your wife? And why be submissive to your husband? Why honor your parents? The Bible! Why don't we believe in evolution? We evolved from some, you know, a single cell amoeba that, you know, got tired of, you know, being simple-minded. So he became a Baptist. So, you know, he wiggled and jiggled and you know, and got some legs, and well, there was a frog. And that frog got tired of being a frog after a while. And after several millions of years of, you know, of developing, evolving, all of a sudden now it sprang up and it jumped into a tree and it was a monkey. Right? And that monkey now, that's the missing link. And after a while, he lost his tail and stood upright. And now you got you and me. People believe that. They came from nothing going back to nothing. Why don't we believe that? The Word of God. Well, are you so bigoted and hard-hearted that you don't believe that a man can love a man and be married to a man? No, I don't believe that. Why don't I believe that? That must be a Baptist thing. You Baptists are so close-minded. You hate everybody. Well, we almost do. You mean two women can't get together and be married and have a family? No. Who told you that? The Bible told me that. That's a big difference. You don't believe that a man and a woman should live together before they're married? No, I don't believe that. I believe it's fornication. Well, why do you believe that? The Bible tells me so. You think a man should lie and cheat and steal? No! What makes the difference? The Bible. The Word of God. And when God's Word gets down, it'll change your prayer life. It alters your, listen, David's prayer life hinges on the fact that God's Word, listen, if God's Word's not true, then why pray? If God's Word's not true, then why believe? There can be no eternal God if God's Word's not true. You see, I think that Christians are guilty of a dead and unfruitful prayer life because they don't know the Word of God. See, I'm not coming to God based upon my merit and my work and my righteousness. I'm able to come to God because of His mercy. I'm able to plead my case before Him because of His mercy. I'm able to make my request known because of His mercy. Hebrews 4:14 says to you and I about prayer. It says, let us therefore come boldly on the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Listen, He says, I can come boldly. Now, let me illustrate that once again. I'm going to tell the same story I told you before. Say why you do that, because I like the story. You know, when my wife and I, when I was growing up, every Sunday, we went to Grandpa and Grandma's house. That was just tradition. And I still think that should be tradition, right? I think now that I'm a Grandpa and Grandma, Sundays is Grandpa and Grandma's house day. My boys are not listening, I'm sure. But when I was growing up, my dad, we just drive to Grandpa and Grandma's house out in Raymond, Iowa, pull in the driveway, we all get out, my dad would open the door and he'd just walk right in. Mom, I'm here! Come on in! Did that for years. My wife and I got married. Well, it was Sunday. Guess where we went? Grandpa and Grandma's house. Got out of the car, walked to the door, and I went like this. And I knocked. And nobody came. I knocked again. Finally, Grandma came to the door. Eddie, what are you doing? You don't knock. You just walk in. This is your house too. What are you doing? Your family. Just walk. Just come boldly in. And you know what I do? I come walking boldly in. I go right. Where do I go? To the refrigerator, the cookie jar, the counter looking for baked goods. Why? I was coming boldly to the counter of grace, and looking for some help in time of need. Hey, you and I can come boldly to God's throne. Yes. Yes. Why? Not because of what you and I do, because the Bible tells me so. You know why we have weak prayer lives? We have weak Bible reading lives. Say, preacher, why are you encouraging the Bible so much these last few years? So that way you have a change in your prayer life. So you know how to pray. He didn't say, hey, come in. He didn't say, come before my throne. Come in mealy mouth. He said, come boldly to my throne. What gives me the right? His word. Not me. I can't say, God, here I am. I was really good this week. I tried really hard. I didn't cuss one time. My wife did, God, but I didn't cuss one time. Why did she cuss? I made her cuss, God. That was my fault. I can't come to God and say, God, here I am because of what I come to God and say, God, here I am because of who you are and because of what your word says. David's and David's prayer life was not because he was a king. Well, because of the word of God. Thy word is true. From when? The beginning to the end. Number three and lastly, and I got it quick here. It makes a big difference in our practice. Let me read to you the stanza again here. I want to read to you again, and then we'll close. After a few comments, of course. 153 says, consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me, quicken me, according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies. O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet Do I not decline from thy testimonies? I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments doeth forever. Well, the devil likes distractions, doesn't he? David's saying here, God, your word's made a difference in my practice, in my life. See, the word of God made a difference in David's affections. Look at verse number 161 real quickly here, this next chapter. We're going to skip ahead for a second. It says, princes have persecuted me without cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate the poor lying, but thy law do I love. See, God's word changed David's love, his heart, his affections. Hey, why do I love Jesus Christ? Well, first of all, because he loved me. It amazes me. He loved me. He loved you first. But I loved him because I love his word. His word makes a difference in my life. It tells me how much he loved me and gave his life for me. It tells me about heaven, about the Spirit of God. How can I help but love him? See, it altered my affection. I hate sin. I abhor lying. I abhor all those things. The sin of transgressors, they grieve me. But oh God, I love you and I love your word. See, God's word made a difference in David's affections. The word of God made a difference in David's faithfulness. He said, I faced, you know, here's this song that David sang, you know, bloom, despair, and agony on me. You know, deep, dark depression, pure misery. He was singing all these, you know, these songs. But he says, God, I've not declined from thy testimonies. I'm not altered from your word. David's life did not hinge on what others did or said. Why? Because God's word made a difference in his life. It changed his prayer life. It changed his pride. It changed his faithfulness. It changed his affections of his heart. It changed his practice. It elevated the man up out of himself. David here, he talks about, let me just close with this thought. David here talks about his enemies and his persecutors. About being persecuted without cause. David's Christian life, let me say this again, his life did not hinge upon what others did or said. Now I want to close, I want to get this, forget the, I don't know whose horn that is. If you're doing that on purpose, stop it. Can you imagine being our neighbors right over here? I've been here now for 15 years. The folks in this house have changed, I think, 10 times. Because they must hear God's word preached every time that we turn the PA on here. And it's probably good for them anyway. But imagine living next door to us. I want you to see this a second. I'm afraid that many times the pews are full of people. David's testimony... His testimony was the fact, God, many are my persecutors. Many are my enemies. But God, I will not decline from serving you, from your word. Let me try to get my train of thought just right here. I want to communicate this the best I can. Without being unkind or ugly to anybody, the pews today are full of people. If you talk about their testimony, they'll talk about their offenses and their hurts and their problems. In the Christian life. How's your Christian life? Well, you know what? Back, you know, 10 years ago, this preacher, he done me wrong. You know, preacher, you know, back about 15 years ago, I was in church. Well, I was trying to serve God and do right and read the Bible and walk with Christ. And a church member, they hurt me and my family. They did me wrong. And we focus on our enemies, our persecutors, all the bad things that we have to endure as Christians. What happens, you have people that sit in the pew and do nothing. Because our whole focus is on, I've been hurt. I've been offended. I've been done wrong. And by the way, can I say this to you this morning? If you're, I don't care if you're in this church, or if you're in Bible Baptist, or Grace, or Hope, I don't care where you go to church, Baptist, Pentecostal, Presbyterian, Methodist, or Episcopalian. If you go to church long enough, somebody's going to hurt you. Right? Hey, I worked in a factory for many years. My boss hurt me. I mean, my boss hurt me. He put me in a corner and he kicked me one day. Yeah. If I was smarter, I'd have sued him and got his job, but I was just too dumb as a kid to understand what was going on there. Hey, I've been hurt by people at work. We're people. But here, let me communicate this to you this morning. The difference in David's life was, God, I might be persecuted, but Lord, I love your law best. Your priority in my life, your head in my life. Therefore, it doesn't matter what anybody else does, I'm going to put you first. Hey, quit sitting in the pew and being bitter today. The pews are full of bitter people. I'm bitter because I got hurt by a pastor or a preacher or a missionary or a deacon or a deacon's kid. Stop! God's word and God, Jesus Christ, is better and bigger than your hurt. Why sit your whole Christian life festering about what happened to you 10, 15 years ago when God can come and heal that hurt and cleanse that hurt and cleanse that wound and let you serve Him? The idea is that you love being a victim when you love being a victor. We don't focus on your wounds than your healings. Your focus, your head is your offense, not your Savior. Listen, can I be very transparent? Pastors can do dumb things. If I pull up my pant legs, you're going to see a white leg, transparent, that's flesh and blood like yours. I'm not different than you are. I have the same feelings, same emotions, and sometimes we react. We say things sometimes out of a haste or maybe out of anger, frustration. You know, you go up here and pray sometimes, watch people fall asleep, ignore you, look the other way, you know, write notes, text, answer phones, turn their cars on, you know, all this stuff. It gets a little bit, sometimes a little bit like, what's going on? But I've been a church member before and I realized, wait a minute, it can happen both directions. What makes a difference in our life though? I can say, well, God, I've been hurt, I'm going to quit the ministry. What's my focus then? Me? My hurt? David said, Lord, I got many enemies, many persecutors, but God, I'm not going to decline from my testimonies. Amen. See, David was saying, listen, my hurt's not my head. My bitterness is not my head. The Bible makes a difference because it's true. It's true. Today I want to encourage you, don't be a pew sitter. Don't be one of those Christians that say, well, I used to. I used to serve God, but I got hurt. Well, can I remind you of one that came to this earth to love us and he got hurt? In fact, they crucified him. There he hung on Calvary. And as they nailed his hands to the cross, he said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. Right? He did that for you and I. You see, when God's word is true, it should make all the difference in the world in our lives. When God's word is true, I said, when God's word is true, I want to live for Him. I want to love Him with all my heart, my soul, and mind. When His word is true, I want to live by faith and be filled with the Spirit. When His word is true, I want to be faithful until the end. When His word is true, I can say, God, consider me, consider us, deliver us, quicken us. God, have mercy when His word is true. Today, what do you know about God's word? What do you know about God's word? What do you say about God's word? Father, today we come to you in closing. And God, I pray that you just take now, Lord, these simple, very simple thoughts, Lord, from the Bible, from this text today, and help us this morning. And God, today may we forget about our accomplishments, but also forget about our enemies and our persecutors and our afflictions. Be able to say, as David said, Lord, I will not decline from my testimonies, because Though things may always be perfect, thy word is perfect, thy word is true. And God, because your word is true, Lord, we know that you're true and faithful and just. God, I ask you to help us today. We ask your name. Let's all today stand together as we invitation begins to play, a song invitation. I say this morning, preacher, I don't know that I'm saved. I'm not sure that I've been born again. And if I died right now, I'm not sure for a Bible reason. that heaven's my home, but I want to know, I want to know for sure that I'm saved. I want to be born again. I don't want to die and go to hell. Today, if that's you, would you do this for me? Would you just step out from your stand and meet me in the front and say, Pastor Mass, I need to know for sure I'm saved. This is what we'll do. We won't embarrass you. We won't make you join the church. We won't put your name on the rolls. We'll just simply take the Bible straight from God's word, how you can know for sure you're saved. Oh, the greatest life is living for Jesus Christ, being born again, and being in His Word, walk with Him. And there's a lot of preachers that can preach a way better message this morning than I can. I just want to encourage you today. And my whole thing is, put God first in your life. Put His Word first in your life. Walk in His Word. And what I can't do as a preacher, God through the Spirit of God and through His Word will do every time in your life. Don't rely on me. You better rely upon the Word of God and the Spirit of God in your heart and your life. Well, today we come to you in closing. Thank you, Father, for Your precious word today. May we make it a priority as we give an example of today in the word. Make it a priority in our life as well, Father. Today, what we want to say, Lord, we love Your word. And it's a priority to us. God, help us today, I pray. Teach us, Lord, what we ought to know. Make us what we ought to be, I pray, for Your name's sake. This we ask, amen.